Do you want me to read something?
No, no, for the public.
Right. Oh, here comes Anne.
Well, wonderful.
All right, well, let's Anne come in. I'll take it off. Hi, Anne. All right. The September 22nd, 2025 meeting of the Salt Lake County Library is, or Salt Lake County Library Board is now set. Joe, if you'd like to go off.
Welcome. I'm so glad you guys are all here. It's really wonderful to have such cool in-person representation. So thank you for driving here, braving the weather. Thanks to our team for being here, and of course to Melissa for getting us set up and for lunch, and to Jen, who is courageously driving us through this meeting. I think we have a lot of good things to talk about today. We are here at the West Jordan branch, and oftentimes we do a tour of the branch at the end and a little bit of information about the branch where we're meeting. But today, we're going to focus on the Brimley Event Center, which is adjacent to the West Jordan Library. So that's what we'll have Tyler come and speak to us about that. And at the end, we'll be at the Event Center. So just kind of another part of our home here at the West Jordan / Meridian location. That's what it's about. Thanks for being here today.
Thank you. First action item is to approve the minutes from the August 25th, 2025 board meeting. Do I have a motion to approve those minutes? Do I have a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, we are good. Do we have any public comments? Are there any members of the public here in person? I don't believe so, but any members of the public online? I don't think I saw any there either, but okay. Mm-hmm. Hearing none, we'll keep going. What about correspondence?
Not this time, after a busy summer. Mm-hmm. We're going to ride the peace.
Yeah, that's right. As long as we can. All right, and then the next action item then is our agenda item. We'll move on into the introduction of the rating of the Meridian Event Center by Tyler Cruz.
Well, hello everybody. I'm Tyler. I'm the manager at the Meridian Event Center, lovely part of the building that we're in here today. I've been here since we opened May, June of 2012, and really the Meridian Event Center, I like to kind of consider the unofficial 19th branch of the system. We are an event center that is made for the library and library programming. As this building was being conceived long ago, the West Jordan branch needed a new location. And so they started plans for a new library. It used to be just across the street on 7800 South. As they were putting the plans together, the director, Jim Cooper, at the time, was talking to the mayor of West Jordan and just talking about how great it was going to be in the city and also bemoaning a little bit the fact that, the library didn't have a large space to be able to gather all its employees together and do some of the larger events. The summer reading kickoff was one large event at that time, and there was a Timpanogos Storytelling Festival preview that we did. Larger events that we'd have to go to Wheeler Farm or some other places to do. And, the mayor of West Jordan was like, yeah, we would love a larger gathering space in West Jordan itself. So they kind of put their heads together, and the city donated some land and some money, We were able to add on the event center portion of the building. And in return, the city of West Jordan gets some booking privileges in the space. And that's kind of how the event center was born. I've got some stats and some different things I'll show later when community engagement gets to present. But really, the event center, again, is made for the library and library programming. I'll show you some of the things that we do, and we can talk about it during the tour. And then kind of as a bonus, as cost recovery, I like to view it, we do rent out the space as well. So whether it's, well, City of West Jordan has booking privileges, the county has booking privileges, and then 9 months out, we open our books to the public, and the public can come and book out the space. And it's fantastic. We'll show you all the details later when we come through the tour. I'm really excited for the progress we've had in the last 13 years and the programs that we've been able to present and the momentum that we've got going right now with some of our larger programs and the response that we're getting from the community. So that all comes from, starts with support here and with the admin team. So I'll just throw out that thank you now. And I guess I'll just kind of stop there and show you the fun stuff a little bit later on. But thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
If I could jump in, I hear from people time and time again how amazing our event staff is. They come in, things work, they go smoothly. Like, this team does an incredible job of taking care of our customers and our patrons and our staff, you know, when we're doing these branch events. And I think that, I don't know, sometimes there's an idea about the professionalism that you're going to get from a government entity, and we are top-notch here. And I'm just really proud of this team and what they do. And you guys have seen it. And you can see more behind the scenes today. Just stick around for the tour.
So I also attended the West Jordan Chamber of Commerce Center, and it was awesome. You guys did a really great job with this meeting. It was really cool to see how it all came together on like a third party event, and as some of you like attended the event, it was really cool.
Thank you. Thank you, Kelly. All right, so our first action item, or our next action item, I should say, is the Internet Access and Computer Use Policy. Matt, take away.
And Jen's going to bring it up, and hopefully, I don't know if you've had the chance to review it, but we sent in our, you remember that you just approved this policy 2 months ago. We sent in our approval, and the state came back and said, hey, you don't have a SEPA compliance statement. And so we took the opportunity to kind of review everything, and in the process we found that we had a couple of other pieces of duplication in here. And so we streamlined it a little bit. Jen, if you'll go down to, go back up. So we talked about the unauthorized access piece. We made sure that we put, gambling and not being able to use our internet for things like hacking and spamming. And so those were pieces that SEPA required. Mm-hmm. So we added that into the policy. And of course, that is something that is very intuitive that we'd want to have there and also is part of the law. So we'll do that. And then, like I said, we had a couple of statements that were just a little bit messy in that first paragraph that says the policy of the Salt Lake County Board. We actually repeated some of it twice, and so we just decided to have that in there once. And then, lower down, I believe it does say we're in compliance with SEPA. And then I think that's pretty much it for these changes. The SEPA allows us to get the federal funding, which also may include the internet that we receive from the UETM, which is like a federal funding, big deal kind of a thing. So if we lost that, that would be bad news for us.
Can you remind us what SEPA is?
The Children's Internet Protection Act, federal legislation. So,
I have one question. I think we talked about it last time. but I don't remember. With the Title II ADA requirements and the federal funding requirements that are coming with those web accessibility and the ADA, is there a need to add anything into this policy for the upcoming April deadline related to web accessibility for public entities?
Not yet.
Okay.
We'll look into it.
Something to think about. It's a really big, all of it has to be able to make sure all public websites are accessible to the public, and it impacts whether you qualify for federal funding.
So I do think we are largely already.
I think you are too. I just didn't know if you needed anything in your policy.
We can check with our web team because I'm positive that we hired a couple of people in order to help.
I think we talked about it. I just can't remember where it landed.
That's outside of my purview, so maybe Brad and I can get back to you next time.
Yeah, it might be something to think about, and maybe it's just amending it after.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, we've already amended it.
Yeah.
We've amended the 11th time.
Well, and this is a lot about hate treatment of computers in our site rather than the design of our site for the public.
Yep, it does say on here to ensure equitable access.
So, yeah,
which I don't know.
I will look into it. It does seem like this is more about patron behavior and making sure they use the computer in a way that, and that we're stating clearly to the patrons who might be interacting with the web, that an ADA requirement might be more directed to what we prepare and have available, but not necessarily policy about patron behavior and things like that. But I'll look into that. Thank you for bringing that up.
Well, there may be like assistive technologies that we want to make sure to have available for people that add to that
compliance. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like a contact if you need
some support. Yeah. But thank you for the suggestion. We're here for compliance with federal law. So.
go write that down. So I guess the action item would be to approve the
amendment
policy. Do we have a motion to adopt the Internet Access and Computer Use Policy as amended?
I move to approve the Internet Access and Computer Use Policy as amended.
Thank you. Do we have a second?
Second.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none. We're good. Thank you, Matt. All right. Next action item, early holiday closures.
Yeah, so the county has identified, we're pulling it up, specific holidays, as you might expect. And so on the eve of those holidays, we have learned that our traffic is quite low in the branches, and people are anxious to spend time with loved ones. And so Do people have a copy of this in the packet, or is it just on
the
packet? I forget a little bit what I printed for myself and what we have printed for you. So as you can see, day before Thanksgiving, we're closed on Thanksgiving Day already. That's a county holiday. And then you can see on Christmas Eve, we close a little bit early, and then New Year's Eve, we would like your approval. We have this shortly, and we'd like your approval to, again, close a little bit early on those days. So if you support this adjusted schedule.
So currently, if I support it, I'm just curious, what's the change from the current schedule?
It would be regular operating hours. Okay. So I have to look at which day of the week. But if it's Christmas Eve, which is a weekday, that would be
9 o'clock?
Yeah.
Okay.
Is not a bottom time. I'm
nervous.
8:30 on the Christmas Eve.
Yeah.
if it hit on a Saturday, then our
that would be 6 p.m. Okay. Any other questions from anybody? Mm-hmm. All right. Do I have a motion?
Motion is approved.
All right. Do we have a second?
Second.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, we're good.
You got what you just said.
What's that? All right, so.
Or Bill.
Okay. Oh, it's Bill.
Saw that in the area.
So the next action item is a closed meeting. And the reason to hold a closed meeting would be to discuss real estate transactions that are not yet public and could jeopardize pricing and availability for the purposes stated therein. The location of the closed meeting would be the, we call this the West Jordan Branch or the Meridian, the West Jordan Branch, and the date is September 22nd, 2025. The time is 12:49 p.m. Mountain Time. In addition to the board participating in the closed meeting, we would like to invite Joey, Robin, and Elise, and Melissa, and anybody, and Luke, I think, was also mentioned, somebody that we'd like to participate. Any other IT or support personnel that we should ask to participate?
Can we keep Jen?
Yeah, sure.
She's our driver.
Okay. So with all that being said, do we have a motion to approve the closed meeting in the manner and purposes I just described?
One motion.
Yeah, motion from Billy, a second.
Second.
Lindsay, all in favor? Aye. Okay. So, thank you, everybody.
And then, Melissa, you'll put our online folks in a waiting room.
Yeah.
Hey, thanks. We're going to see.
Online the way we would be?
Yep.
Yeah. All right. Joey.
Okay. Well, I'd like to talk some more. Okay. I wanted to give you an update on our library operations building, our library operations center. That building is in Midvale. We talked about this. Thanks for your approval to buy it in February or March when we had it. We have started, I can't remember if I updated you this in August or not, but we're working with MSR Design, the architect that we have hired to help us work on the redesign. And so we had our kind of big kickoff series of meetings last week, to start getting in charrettes with people who are going to be occupying the space, talking about the things that we need in the center. And they have taken tours of our current locations to sort of see how things are working. And so we're really excited about the conversation we've been having and to get started on this design process to make the new building work for us. One of the things that I realized after going on another tour of the work that our community engagement and collection and resource services teams have been doing in the basement of Whitmore Library is that we have done just a really, I want to say, like, amazing / painful job of making the space work. Like, it's so suboptimal how they've been managing it in there. But we are scrappy, and we have made it work, and we have hundreds of deliveries, you know, going out from that sort of central services location. And we are so excited to have the space, to have the location in the center of the valley, and to be rethinking about how some of our processes work in light of this new space. So I think that in addition to allowing our teams to be working in a more effective space, it's going to give us an opportunity to really look at how we're managing, how we're moving materials through our system in a way that'll benefit our branches and certainly the staff who are working with them. So that's the news there. Does anybody who's been participating in those discussions want to add to that? Yeah.
Great building, lots of potential for us.
Yeah. Any questions about that? Okay. Well, we'll try. We're excited to. I wanted to try and have a board meeting there, but our staff wisely reminded me there's no place to sit. So we will be arranging some tours, and if at some point you would want to see a tour of the new space, we'll be happy to take you out there. But we'll be sure to schedule a meeting there once we have chairs. So that'll be a little late. The other thing that I wanted, a couple other things that I wanted to mention by way of director's report is that we are doing our biannual, I mean every other year, staff day, all staff day. So the even years are PALA years, so a big national conference that we do quite a few employees too. And then on the off years, we do a staff day for all our staff. So this is our off year, and on October 13th, which is a federal holiday, but is not a holiday that's observed by the county, we'll be holding our staff day. It's kind of intuitive for people to think that the library's closed on Columbus / Indigenous Day. So we'll be having our staff day. Our team has been working really hard on that, and we're excited to bring folks together. One of the things that we'll be unveiling, that sounds a little more exciting than maybe it's going to be discussing, is our strategic plan. So we've been working internally for months now on our strategic plan, lots of different discussions with different groups throughout our system about what the library needs to be focusing on forward. And we've identified some strategic pillars and some initiatives that we'll be focusing on. And values. We're keeping our mission statement the same. And so we'll be talking to the team about that, and we have lots of other great activities and some games, and we're going to be having a speaker. I don't know if I should be saying it yet, but have we announced it publicly?
I think people know.
And so we're excited about this opportunity to bring our whole staff together to connect and have some direction-setting conversation. It's just a chance to be a part of a big system. We have 18 branches and facilities, building, and we've got folks all over this valley, and a chance to come together and connect and share in the excitement of the work that we're doing and our hopes and dreams for the future will hopefully be really nice days for everyone. So that is the director.
Thank you. Okay, community engagement updates from various.
From various? I just wanted to give you very quick overview of programming, and then I'll let the team talk about their areas. But I just wanted to show you that one of the impacts of programming is how these kids are feeling when they come to and talk to Professor Snape. So we go all out, Ness's team and Tyler's team does a fantastic job putting this all together, and then all of our community partners as well. Go ahead and go to the next one. I just wanted to show that we have a ton of programs across the system, and not all of these are community engagement programs. In fact, by far, most of them are branch programs. But we're on track to get over 13,000 programs for this year, with almost 600,000 attendees. And if you go to the next slide, we have 43.5 programs every day for this year. That's 175 days that we've been open. That equates to 46 attendees per program, or almost 2,000 people coming to programs every single day. So, crazy. Yeah. Crazy amount of programs. This is actually at the Daybreak Library with one of our librarians there, Vanessa. And the theme is princesses and the evil princess versus the brave knight. And the kids are clearly enraptured with the story that she's telling. Go ahead and go to the next one. So why do we do programming in case you were asking yourself, why does the library do programming? Well, first of all, our people love coming to our programs. We hear so much good comments from, that's not great, sentence from Cheryl. So many good comments from our patrons. When Tyler does his surveys for the Viridian event, they often ask, are this the first time you've been to the library? And they get a fair number of people who are coming for the first time to those kinds of programs. At our camps and even at other events, the story times that we do with some of our external facilities, which Kim will talk about in a minute, they meet people that they wouldn't meet otherwise. They're engaging with their friends and peers from throughout the valley, not just their neighborhood or their store. We have seen people come to our events on a date. That's actually Adult Night Out is one of the things that we promote actively. And we've even had people get engaged here at the library, along with the Viridian. You can get married at the library. So highly recommend it if you are interested. And as you can see here with the string, programs are educational and lovely. We try to incorporate education into our program. So it's, some of it's entertainment, a lot of it's entertaining, but some of it is also STEM programs and the direct learning that we offer to especially our families. So I think that's all the slides that I have. So I'll have Tyler come up and talk about more about, this is what I told him he couldn't say in his introduction.
I thought I was doing the introduction and I'll get to it. It's kind of my introduction. But as Matt mentioned, we're a community gathering space. And that we really, in community engagement at Viridian, have really been focusing on connections the last few years. Creating connections with the community, creating connections within the people that show up, creating connections with the other 2,000 people that are coming to to programs every day at the library, right? Creating those connections with the library. So we do all kinds of different things at the event center, from families to adults. As I mentioned, the event center was built for the purpose of library programming. We do invite other groups to come in and use the space as well. Over 4 or 5 years. Hopefully the next few ones remind me of that range. But library programming comprises about 50% of what we do in the building. That's actually gone down a little bit from year past, and that's part of the way we just count our numbers. Our new system counts. Doesn't count event days, it counts. Like ALCAMP, a 2-week program is one single event. So if you're looking at previous numbers, I said for years, we do about 60% of our events, our library programs. Still about the same, we're just looking at numbers a little bit differently. We have a lot of great nonprofit events that come use the space. That is by design. We built into our rate schedule a nonprofit fee to kind of encourage nonprofits to come use the space. In my mind, that's a great use of taxpayer dollars, kind of providing that ability for local organizations that support the local community to come use the space. And then City of West Jordan, corporate government schools were real popular with dances. Senior dinner dances, prom season goes crazy, graduations. So, can we move on?
Mention the centenarian event.
Just last week we had our centenarian event. The governor invites anybody who is 100 years and older in the state of Utah to come to a banquet with him each year. That happened last week, and I think we had 55 centenarians and their families. The oldest person, I want to say, was 108. We had people from St. George that were here, so cool event. our attendance, this is our attendance the last 4 years. 2025 is, you know, basically year to date. We've had as many as 44,000 people in 1 year. We've had as many as 216 events in 1 year. A number of years ago, we actually hit 295. That was not sustainable. We've changed how we do things a little bit, and we've actually started to focus, because we're a bigger space and we can accommodate bigger events, we started focusing more on the bigger events. And in fact, we could have a bigger event as opposed to a lot of smaller events, at least for the Viridian staff. So we cut back, or we refocused, I guess, with what we were doing. The things that we're offering to the public, to the library system, we do loan out event items. So we have pipe and drape, we have fog machines, we have photo backdrops that we use for all of our events. We only purchase stuff if we know we're going to use it for multiple things. Then since we kind of have it in our inventory or system resource, we loan it out to the branches so that they can take advantage of that as well. First Friday concerts, we've partnered with the City of West Jordan and a group called Excellence in the Community. First Friday of every month, we do a concert featuring local Utah artists. And we have been going crazy the last few months. Our attendance have been great. We had one of our largest ever a few weeks ago, where we had 830 people, I think it was, for Beatles cover band outside out in the amphitheater. We can move on there. So there, we've got the ability to do a stage inside, and we can go outside as well. Actually, maybe that's still inside again, but we're drawing great crowds to the concerts, and it's a great partnership that we've created as well. We wouldn't be able to offer these every month alone, but by partnering with the city and Excellence in the Community, we've been able to offer them monthly, and we've been able to kind of increase our impact. So moving along, we offer classes. Some of the smaller things that we do, we've got a Hobby 101, where each month we focus on a different hobby that you could get into. We partner with a few groups that bring in some programming as well. We can go further. Adult Night Out. This is, Matt mentioned date nights. We realized that adult programming is hard in the library system, right? Kids, teens, even, their interests all pretty much align. You know, you start getting teens, their interest gets a little more diversified. We're still able to grab a lot of them in big chunks. By the time when we get to adults, you know, we're maybe getting them at the family events, we're maybe getting them at some of the smaller classes that they're interested in, but it's hard to get them all together in one spot. However, at the Event Center, we're able to do some of the larger events that are of interest to the adults on a larger scale. So when we realized we had that ability and kind of that the chance to really impact adults in the community, we went for it. We've created the Adult Night Out, which is quarterly events with different themes. We did earlier in the year, this year was very dance focused, that's not always the case. But we had a Valentine's dance, it did on Valentine's Day. We did a 90s prom. Coming up in October, we've got a vampire ball, and then in our rotation, we've got our New Year's Eve gala. We can kind of scroll through some pictures. We've done a Mardi Gras event before. We've got to the point now where we've got a number of events in our adult night out rotation where we've got our plan out through middle of 2031. We've bingo events, bingo's in February. We do, and we can skip that one. We've got, all kinds of great adult program. We can talk about it more during the tour. Just the way we're set up, movies are fun and easy for us to do. So in October, we do Halloween movies. In December, we do holiday movies every Monday. And we started partnering with the Utah Film Center and offering the Tumbleweeds Film Festival. Film festival featuring films just for kids. They offer, come together, it's a 3-day of film programming.
for balance. It's awesome. It's fantastic. We can move on. Chalk the Walk. That is a chalk art focus program for families that we do. We've been doing this a great program, great artists. We this year increased to 65 some odd participants or spaces, which is about 100 participants. And then, you know, over 1,000 people that come check out the art. And costume swap. This is one that's a little bit unique. It was offered as an idea from one of our library managers. We, throughout the system, collect costumes from the public. They come bring in their costume. We give them a token. And then we take all those costumes and set up a shop. This year it will be at Granite Library. And people will bring their tokens in to us and use that to purchase a new-to-them costume, right? So we're recycling all these costumes that just get used once and then might go to the trash or whatever, or maybe get handed down, but that's only if the kid likes it, whatever. This is the way we're able, we save families hundreds of dollars every year. It's a kind of a program that we started at Viridian with the idea of, you know, it was a great program, and then we wanted it to travel throughout the system. We still run it, even though we're kind of pretty focused on our building and our programming here. But we're able to offer our programming as a resource to other branches and then thus affect patrons throughout the system. We know patrons throughout the system will come here, but if we come to their neighborhood, we get more participation in that area. And then, see Halloween. We focus on families, kids, teens, adults. This is our teen event, safe space, fun Halloween, Halloween event. That's the end of bringing stuff. And again, at the end of the tour, we'll have some time to go check things out. I talk a lot, I got a lot of great things to say, so I'll save the rest for our tour. But again, thank you, and thanks to all the community engagement.
I thought it was funny in that last photo that all the kids are wearing costumes.
All right, thank you. I'm Nisba. I'm the Library Program Manager. I supervise the Lifelong Learning Team. There are 7 people on my team now, and I'm going to give you just a brief highlight of, like, one thing that each of them does. Because I've been told to keep 5 minutes. Okay, I'm going to talk fast. So I wanted to highlight our 2 biggest initiatives, winter reading and summer reading. You will see that summer reading is larger than winter reading by about 40,000 people. Why we like winter reading and why it's important to us is that summer reading, we do miss a segment of kids who cannot get to the library over the summer. Either their parents can't bring them, don't have the time, or the inclination. So with winter reading, we really try to partner up with teachers and classrooms to meet the kids where they're at and have the teachers engage with them with the program to get them excited about reading. We get the prize books to the classroom so that we just eliminate all those barriers to access. So you'll see that this year we've really increased our classroom visits over 50. And that 2,000 number is that part of the total that were student participants. So of those 7,000, about 2,000 were students strictly in classrooms, which we're really excited about. Summer reading, most of you have heard me talk about. We just wrapped it up this year. Big thing this year is we had Real want to partner with us. So we were able to do buy one, get one free tickets for the Royals and the Monarchs. Have to get that one right. And they were really excited about that partnership. It was really valuable for them. So we're looking at, he already contacted me and was like, let's talk about next year. I was like, okay, I like to hear. So we'll be going forward with that for next year. And of course, if you have any questions beyond the soundbite I'm giving you, please ask them. I'm happy to answer any questions about these. All right, so I mentioned I have 7 people under me. 3 of those are programming librarians who focus on our big system initiatives and events. And then 3 are outreach librarians. So we have somebody who focuses on relationships with our school districts. We have one person who's focusing on health outreach and one person who works in the jail. So Caitlin Schools is working on Level Up right now. It is out in the school, or out in the branches who are doing outreach to the schools. It is a third grade initiative, and we chose that intentionally because third grade is a very pivotal year where kids stop learning how to read and they start reading to learn. So we really wanted to capture them, teach them how to use the library, and get them excited about library services at that point. So that is going right now, and will go through December. And then Read Together is our initiative at the jail. That's been going for about a year, I want to say now, where we put out a card of books, and visitors who are coming in can choose a book to take home with them for their family. One of my favorite stories with that one is a family who came in, a mom who came in. Her kids were at home. She was able to pick up some books for her kids and take them home and say they were from dad, who was incarcerated. So just a great way to be building those relationships while promoting literacy. We are currently in talks with Criminal Justice Service to expand this program a little bit. We love our partners. We love our reach with these. So next slide. So moving on to some of our partnerships, America 250, this is a bit of a sneak peek for next year. The country is celebrating its 250th year since we were founded. So we are partnering with the American 250 organization as well as some local partnerships and looking at ways that we can celebrate that anniversary at the library while remaining apolitical. We are in talks with county archives and really focusing on stories for that celebration. A couple health partnerships. Josh is our health outreach librarian. He's been building a ton of partnerships. His partnerships would take up an entire slide. I'm just highlighting 2. Take Care Utah, we've partnered with them to offer health insurance options and counseling at 3 of our branches. That's going through October. And then a surprisingly awesome partner this year with our friends over with the Salt Lake County Health Department in the lead prevention, lead poisoning prevention program. And they came to our summer camp this year and taught kids about lead prevention. And when this was first proposed to me, I was like, we're going to do what now? And it was actually a huge hit. The picture here is the kids getting under the table to use a special light to look for lead in different objects. It was super engaging, and I'll tell you, my kid came home and was like, Mom, did you know? And went through the whole list of things that we had to watch out. So they have been really great, and we're looking working with them more. All right, so then our top 3 big hitting programs. Again, this is not comprehensive. Out Camp, Spike Camp, and Toshapon. I can't get up here and not mention those 3. And Owl Camp is going into like its 10th or 11th year now. Tyler is like, we had over 1,000 students over the course of 7 days. We've expanded it. And 8 partners who helped make that happen. With Five Camp, that was a new one this year. We expanded to be serving the 6 to 10 year olds. This was not an Owl Camp 2.0 for those of you who walked through Owl Camp. And the numbers on that are deliberately smaller because we have a higher staff-to-child ratio. The classes are structured differently. It's a different developmental stage, so everything about the camp is designed to accommodate that. Really excited to have a pilot year on that. Now we have more data. We can go forward and make a lot of changes and improve for next year. And ToshaCon, we just finished up last weekend. So we had about 2,000. The actual exact numbers are coming in. But it was about 2,000 over 2 days. And the energy on that one is just incredible. A story that came back from that one this year, we actually had our meet and greets, which is where we chat with all of our school educator friends. And one of the educators came up and said, hey, my daughter comes to ToshaCon every year. It's like her Super Bowl. She spends the entire year designing 2 costumes for the event. She's neurodivergent. She's very shy, but she got up. She did karaoke. She found her people. I love that you have this safe space for her. So, yes, all the feels. And if you haven't made it to TochoCon one year, I highly encourage you to ask me for a tour because we won't let you in without a team. but we would love to show that event to you as well. What I don't have up here on this slide is my seventh employee, who's one of our most critical. She runs all of our back-end stuff for us, and she manages what we call our lead items boxes, which are program boxes that support all of those thousands and thousands of programs that happen in the branches. These boxes are kind of program in a box resource that our delivery team helps find out, that our librarians curate, and she has circulated, okay, I have to remember the exact number, 1,300 so far this year. So that's close to 150 boxes on average that our delivery drivers are taking out and bringing back and more processing. But it's an enormous support for our librarians. That's one less program they have to come up with from scratch. So that is my, could you give us an example of a program in the box? Yes. Half of our programs are in partnership with Early Learning. And the other half are designed teams for adults, and they have everything in there from rocket launchers to telescopes to wind tunnels. We also have like a story time box. Tim might be talking about this. Keep my mouth shut about those. We have like a spa box that has everything you need in it to make like soap, and have an awesome event. So really run the gamut, but they are awesome resources. Any questions about anything I've said before I turn the stage over? Okay, that's fast.
All right. Hi, I'm Kim Welch, and I'm usually the manager of the Grand Branch, but I've been acting as a program manager for Early Learning for the past 4 months, which is actually my last week, so I just put this little appreciation. And actually, I want to give a shout out as a branch manager to both Viridian and the Lifelong Learning staff, because we utilize the resources, just like Tim said. They've given us backdrops and pipe and drink for different branch programs we're doing, and we actually just had an LPR grant on Saturday, and Josh was super helpful with my team in getting some professionals to come and table at the branch. So that's great. All right, so next slide. So some of you may know Susan Spicer, who just recently retired. She was the program manager when she's at MRTN. And then Tammy Austin is our senior librarian. And then Em and Olivia are from South Page. Next slide. So Early Learning supports the branch. It supports the library system, and it also supports the county. And I'm going to talk about them in that order. So next slide. So some of the things that we do in the branches, we have, just like Nisha said, we have, this is an example of a story time box. So there's books. This is a fruit emotion, like, nesting doll. I should have brought it. It's just showing it in person. It's the cutest thing. We've got some, like, stick puppets and books. This is all, you know, curated in this box, so a branch can just check it out and do a program with very little preparation. Just kind of got all the time for them. Ready for kindergarten. There's another box program that they can check out. And we do take and make craft kits. This one we just finished handing out beginning of September, and it was all about color. So there's a little watercolor palette, and just it's process art we want the kids to explore. It's not really a product-based craft. It is a process-based craft. And we prepared 2,000 posts to hand out at all these programs. Next slide. All right, for the library, oh, I should also say that for the branches, we also do we do story time training and observation for new youth services librarians, and we also we encourage them and keep them informed of early learning based tips to share with parents so that they know why talking, singing, reading, writing, playing, all of that is an important part of getting their kids ready to read once they're in kindergarten. So for the library, we do 4 system events every year, the big play. We actually just had one on Saturday, which is super fun. These pictures are from back in May. And it's a lot of different
things, lots of great open stations for kids to come and explore. Next slide. We also do Zoom into story time, so this is a digital story time. We get to see an audience there that we don't see in our regular branch programs for whatever reason, whether it's transportation, scheduling, but that's on Monday mornings. We also do 1,000 Books for Kindergarten, which is a booklet that parents can get at the library, and just encourage them to read 1,000 books, at least 1,000 books before kindergarten, which actually, if you're just reading a book a day, you can accomplish in less than 3 years. And then we also host a Storytime Summit every year, which is a training, a day of training for all of our resources librarians. We had about 50 people attend this last year, including some of our summer interns and some non-librarian staff. So we had some substitutes, and we also had some library assistants attend. Just to learn a little bit more about it. This is Brett and Megan from West Jordan. They do a bilingual story time, and then this is them demonstrating how one of them reads it in Spanish and the other one reads it in English. We actually asked more than 15 librarians from around the system to present to their colleagues, and that was made possible because we do those story time observations, and we get to know who's good at what, and that was really great. They really, this year, loved the breakout sessions that we did and just had a lot of time to engage with their colleagues. All right, next slide. And then we also do, for the library, we do outreach story times. We do them 3 times a month at different locations. So we just added the conservation garden in South Jordan. If you've never been there, it's amazing. So we just have this one. We have the farm we've been doing the longest. We added, we also do it at the Tracy Aviary's Nature Center that's in West Valley. So we kind of got one in Midvale, we got one in South Jordan, and then we got one in West Valley as well. And this is story time to go. This is, we have 534 story time to go kits. There's books, there's some toys, there's a sheet with some rhymes on it. The parents can check it out for a week. It's in conjunction with CRS, Parks and Resource Services, and part of the Library of Things. In the last 12 months, they've circulated more than 20,000 times. So it's really well utilized. And you're looking at that per kit, that's more than 40 checkouts a year for each of those kits. So they are very well loved. All right. Next slide. Okay. And then for the county, just like Matt mentioned, there are ways we like to interact with members of the county community that maybe are not coming into the library. One of them is through the South Bay Clinic Reading Room. This is in partnership with the South Lake County Health Department, as well as the University of Utah Health. And we distribute new and gently used books to kids who are coming in for checkups for the WIC clinic. They often can pick up a little take-home craft. It doesn't require any supplies. You know, everything's contained in there. Because of the high rate of immigrant and refugee families visiting that site, we actually distribute books in 45 different languages. And in 2024, we handed out about 11,500 books at that site. We also do books for babies, which is like that jump start to creating your own home library. So hospital partners, hospitals, clinics, midwives, United Way, we distribute books through them. They get a little information about the library and then get a book. And last year we distributed over 7,000 of those as well. All right, next slide. What's next? Well, we're going to get to me in this position. Tammy Austin, who's a senior librarian, is going to be acting in for the next few months, but early 2026, I've been hiring this program manager. And we are, one of the projects I worked on while I was here was creating a substitute story time program. So when a librarian's on an extended leave of absence or a vacation, or maybe they just have a vacancy at their branch, they can't hold story times as often as we'd like them to, right? So we're going to be working with HR to create a substitute training program for our substitute librarians to sign up to do that and help us out. Any questions? Okay, thank you.
Thank you, everybody. Moving on to the staff reports. The first one is marketing by Sarah.
Ooh, I'm going to go quick since we're at the end of time. Two things. If you haven't seen it yet, we have our annual report that is published on the website. Annual report. We do yearly. It highlights just a few programs and milestones of the library, but it also has annual statistics and also our expenses and revenues. And then every year, the Institute of Museum and Library Services publishes their annual public library survey, and that is a snapshot of how libraries in America are serving their communities. Last year, I'm so stoked because we were number 10 in terms of circulation. Unfortunately, we have dropped a little bit to number 12 this year. But I wanted to look a little bit deeper in the numbers. If you look, because we, of course, have the digital library and a lot of electronic circulation, but we circulate a ton of physical materials. So if you look at just physical materials, we are 8th in the nation. And then I said, ooh, we've got so many families. We have so many kids' books. We're actually 5th in the nation for highest circulation for kids' books. So I went to tell me about our community and how they use us and how we serve the library. So just going to do those few things. There's a lot more
on this. And we're super excited about 12.
Yeah.
9,000, there are 9,000 libraries in North America. So hovering on either side of that sort of top 10 in circulation is amazing. Some of those systems have 50 branches, or 80 branches, or 30 branches, and we have 18. So 12 is a triumph.
Okay. Brad.
So just to tell you kind of what we've been working on the finance side, we're wrapping up the end of the year, trying to make sure we get the budget and what we're able to get there. So no concerns, no major changes so far. This looks great. Also looking forward to 2026. We presented our pitch to the mayor. She's very supportive of the library. So I think everything is looking good there. The mayor will present our proposed budget about a month from now. The council will take that in a couple months, and then we'll know the great part of the stuff for the plan to see. A couple of the other things working on the finances, reviewing a couple of our finance policies. Hopefully we'll have something ready for you guys for the next couple months. So look forward to that. Very exciting. We're also looking at financing options for the bills, which you guys talked about during the presentation. And so those are the major proposals for the finance side. On the technology side, we've got a couple new projects that are coming online. We've got an integrated notification system. It should be a new system for all the text messages, phone calls, emails that go into the library. We're looking at getting a unified system. And so that's out for our review right now. So once we get that back, hopefully we'll have a better system that can, you know, reach out patrons. And another thing we're looking at doing is we're undertaking a major project to have better connections with the county. Because right now the county and the library have these other IT systems. And so we're just looking at creating some bridges between the two systems so that we can get better communication, especially with a lot of training resources that the county provides on the systems. We have difficult accessing that. So we're just looking at kind of mitigating those difficulties and creating those pathways there. So yeah, Mike, over to you. Do you have any questions? If you want any more detailed information, happy to provide that for
you. So Brad, this is inaugural. I need presentation. Great job managing the time. Thank you. I hired him for his presentation, among many other attributes. So, and if I could jump in quickly on the, well, thank you so much for your presentation today. I came to the big play on Saturday, which is almost as cute or cuter than Valerie's story time. We'll have to do it side by side. I talked to the good folks of the Lead Prevention Program, and one of the things that they said is that reading to your child helps your brain develop neural pathways to counterbalance if you have had this, for children who've had like lead exposure. So, yeah, lead exposure is not recommended for brain development. But in the event that a child is exposed to lead, reading with your kid, particularly in those younger ages, helps their brain build neural resilience with new pathways. And that is neat.
Because we don't have much exposure as well.
We differ a lot. But that particular benefit was news to me, and I'm still like about it. Now you.
Right. I think that's it, unless there's anything else.
We did it.
We did it. We have a motion to adjourn the meeting. We have a second? All in favor? Aye. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Cool.
Thank you, everyone.
I'm going to miss it.
I went last week. I'm going to miss it today, but.